some matters that was outstanding. In some mind, we, without further delay, allowed to refer to Ms. Boyser to draw our attention to the changes that's been made.
A working document, document 26, where we've incorporated the proposals and the amendments. In the working document, we've also looked at the arrangement of sections as well. So we've addressed that, but I won't take the committee through that now at this stage because of the numbering of the specific clauses, because it might still change. But we've attempted to redraft the arrangement of sections. The first proposal or amendment is on page 21 of the working document, and there to the definition of state security matter, to include the word, includes any matter which has been classified in terms of this act as, which is dealt with by the agency. On page 22, subclause 4, in respect of classified information, take out the word despite, notwithstanding section 5 of the Promotion of Access to Information Act, in the event of a conflict between a provision of this act and a provision of another act of Parliament that regulates access to classified information, the provision of this act prevails. Chairperson, there's also a further proposal. In respect of classified information, and despite Section 5 of the Promotion of Access to Information Act, this Act prevails if there is a conflict between the provision of this Act and another Act of Parliament that regulates access to classified information.
Just 1 minute. Honourable members. Can I get on to the Londoners first?
Chair, we prefer the second option.
Chairperson, on page 38, the classification level, that's now clause 12, which would at least the words or is likely or could reasonably be expected to prejudice the Republic in its international relations. That's in paragraph, that was the old paragraph A. Then in subclause 2, paragraph A, to also remove at the end thereof or is likely or could reasonably be expected to jeopardize the international relations of the Republic, and then remove B and C. Chairperson, subclause 3, paragraph A, to remove or is likely or could reasonably be expected to cause other states to sever diplomatic relations with the Republic, and also to remove paragraph C. And for a subclause 4.
honourable members? Proceed, Ms. Boyce.
Chairperson, then on page 62, right at the top there, because we have provided for the classification review panel to be inserted in a new chapter, chapter 7, we were left there with the appeal procedure and the application to court procedures. So what we're suggesting is maybe to consider making a chapter 8 that deals with the appeal, so that the classification review panel is contained in its own chapter, chapter 7, and therefore we propose then on page 62 a new heading, chapter 8 appeal, and then to provide for appeal procedure 431 and 432 there.
Not too much left on the members. Thank you. Move along.
I'm query about the 90 days provision.
Chairperson, we have considered that, and I believe that when we have the proposal document, we've looked at the where it came from, and I think the issue was the administrative action, the decision taken by, and that was the 90-day period that was provided for in there, and it was that period that I think that we should incorporate.
Agree to honourable members? 90 days to retain. The ones asked that the state law advisors accept how we came to that.
With Mr. Landers, when we looked briefly at the provisions yesterday, the prayers of 30 days and 60 days, I would suggest that we look at 30 days and 60 days as opposed to 90 days. Preferably 30 days. Thank you, Chair.
I agree. Completely supportive.
60 days, honourable members? Honourable members, look, 30 days is a month. If you've got your minister, he gets 2-3 appeals. It's a very short time period.
But you must bear in mind, Chair, we've restricted the application of the Act. Are we saying that the ministers involved in security services doing the abuse matched on a daily basis? I don't envisage that.
Is Boyce over 30 days? Are these common law days or are these days excluding weekends?
Chairperson, in terms of the Interpretation Act, will be calendar days. Chairperson, it will exclude public holidays, Sundays, and that third will be working days.
Honourable members, final word. So, honourable members, can you note that the 90s by agreement changed the 30th? Mr. Weiser,
I refer to page 63, a subclause 2 there at the top, where we've inserted the words, notwithstanding subsection 1, a request to may apply directly to a court for urgent relief contemplated in section 19, subclause 3, without having resources to internal appeal procedure contemplated in section 31 of this Act. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, then we have a further proposal there on page 63 to maybe merge chapters, the old 8 and 9, to become chapter 9, because both of them have got just, I think, one provision. And then to have a new heading to the chapter to say transfer of records to National Archives and the release of declassified information to public. And then to, instead of two chapters, then just have one chapter dealing with those two issues.
So everything running from page 63 to 67. Well, that's all still deleted there.
honourable members. Those are the alterations. What I'm going to propose is that the state law advisor do the adjustments to the document that you have now before you, so that those amendments are captured. Seems to be a process that can be quickly done in this question. To the Landers, honourable Landers, other honourable members, is there anything in the document that does not reflect what we have agreed upon? Point of order, is that Smith, Honourable Fonda? Honourable Landers on the point of order.
Board. Can I come in on this point?
Yes, I'm dealing with a point of order, I'll get you there, Honourable.
I want to talk about the same thing that everyone else is talking about. point of order.
It's my duty, Honourable Member.
You rule, we make submissions. When everyone raises a point of order, the chairman point of order, I think, takes the step. You hear, and then you rule. So allow me to make a humble submission, and if you can rule me out once you've heard me, I mean, that's your prerogative, as it is mine to make submission and please. I don't think that the issue is the origination. I mean, Mr. Mania can raise the point in his own name. I can raise the point in my own name. The issue is whether this is the right time to raise that point. Irrespective of where it comes from, I think it's a valid point, but it seems to me that it's a point of where to locate something. And my humble submission is that we consider that point, if it needs to be considered, raised appropriately by one of us, or one of you, one of anyone in the committee, once we have a cleaned up document, because there will be more of those points that I think will come up once the document is cleaned up, and I think it's a matter of referencing things and positioning them properly. So my humble submission is to deal with that once we've got a clean document.
Chairperson, I fail to see how we can deal with something that was not tabled in the committee. Surely there's a process of tabling stuff through the committee secretary to the committee. There's nothing in front of the committee to deal with. So I fail to see how we can deal with it. Secondly, are we going to continue to get comments? I agree with the Honourable Amrissini as we clean up the document. Are we going to entertain every single one of those comments that we receive? Are we going to look at newspaper articles and then look at that? Are we going to look at every single comment from every single commentator and then reconsider the bill? I think we must determine our own process and follow the process of Parliament.
Hello, Professor.
Just to add to this point, I think the buzzword here is correct. Relevant. How relevant is it? I don't see how relevant it is. So I agree with one of the
Honourable Members, I urge you, unless you've got something, I want to remind you that yesterday when the meeting closed, you gave us a process that we follow today. And in the process that you outlined, no indication of additional submissions derived. And therefore, Chairperson, through you, we suggest that you proceed with the process that you outlined yesterday, and we follow that process. Honourable Members, on the point of order, yes, it's got to be the case that at some time or another, we have to deal with the work that we have before us. We cannot continue to receive submissions all the time and then allow that to interfere with the work of the committee. It might well be that there is a submission out there that might be useful, but that is unfortunate that we cannot continue on a day-to-day basis allow submissions just to be brought before the committee, and also in the manner in which it has been brought before the committee today. Had it been brought to my attention, it could have been dealt with in another manner, but in this manner, Honourable Members, I think, and I would hope you would understand, you equally, those that are not responsible for wanting to submit submissions, would equally be concerned if a whole lot of submissions were brought by other members of the committee and just tabled for your consideration. On that basis, Honourable Members, I would ask you, if the thing has any bearing, if you feel you want to discuss this, you should do that informally. If you find the reason that it has a bearing on the subject matter that is going to markedly change the bill, then you should bring that to my attention, but I'm not going to allow that to take place now. Yes, I'm sorry.
As we're going through the bill now, we're tidying up. I've argued consistency for consistency's sake. And I think there are some areas where we've excluded words such as the word intentionally. And I think we need to just check that up. In particular on page 84, there's a possibility for the word of an insertion intentionally. That's the first aspect. The second aspect relates to the option of a fine. I think it was only the espionage offence that we had, or could also be the hostile activities offence, where we decided there'd be no fines. If we could just clarify that all the other offences, as I understood it, would also have the option of a fine. So I noticed, for example, on this, on page 84, where one could insert the words intentionally there to make it clear that the specific intent is required and the option of a fine is not contained there. Correct. Obviously, I haven't checked that there might be elsewhere as well as we tidy it up where we've omitted, because just for consistency's sake, we need to make sure the specific intent is involved. Thank you, Chair.
You're absolutely correct, Honourable Member. The process of going through the bill now, and where we don't agree there, we'll have to vote. But there where there are genuine mistakes, there those things will have to be dealt with, and it's your duty to draw that to the attention of the other members. We will not agree to something that we did not want to agree to, so you are correct. That's precisely the reason why we have been to go through the bill now. Yes, Honourable Abrasini.
Thank you. And this may sound a little nasty, or with a of pride, but it is a fact that needs to be expressed nonetheless. We all know, none of us is an island, we are political representatives. So once there is a clean bill, we'll need to bring it back, engage all those around us. And it shouldn't happen. If we've done our work correctly, it shouldn't happen. But it may happen that there is one additional issue, another additional issue that one may be required to bring back to the committee. So I just plead to allow for time and space for that to happen. If it does happen, that one has to do it. I hope not.
On page 84, A, B, and C. A, B, intention, before.
Intentionally.
Yes, next.
B, intentionally.
Yes.
B, intentionally.
agreement, you've got that, that's page 84. Then the next point you made, Honorable Swartz, was that you're fined. So the espionage, there's been fines, and then the hostile activity. One page. Another job on it, another matter. Honourable members, look at the simple thing. You can play around with your computer and you can make a copy. That would not be intention. But if you were printing this thing for the purpose that is set out here in this B, then that's really what we're talking about. I don't think you can have the intention now. Quite fine, really, just think when you can make a copy without being intentional. You can. You can make a copy without intending to commit this crime. Intentionally and unlawfully. Next, honorable smuts. Sorry.
circumstances we were dealing with. Unlawfully and intentionally. Take out the core, page 76, and knowingly. Have you got that, Miss Person? Is it unlawful, Miss Person?
Yes.
Where is it? Oh, that's it.
Yes,
fine. Next, Honorable Evans. There's no, it's fine, man. No intention there. Thank you.
briefly, if I may address you. I think we need a word in here, an additional word. Criminal liability cannot be vicarious. You can only be convicted for your own action, not for the action of somebody else. But in respect of 48. So many of the obligations based in the head of organ, state, or an official, if we delegate to somebody else and somebody else fails, because the head can delegate to somebody else, and the delegatee fails, then he would not be prosecuted, and the head of the organ of state cannot be prosecuted because there is no vicarious criminal liability. So my suggestion is to say a head or an official of an organ of state. A head or an official.
Does the fact that we now quite rightly make it applicable to intelligence officials of the agency, does that satisfy the concern that has arisen after we late last night made a change to the definition of state security matter by limiting that concept now to classified information? The concern then arises that disclosure of state security classified information carries in this clause a penalty of 10 years, whereas the disclosure offence for any other purpose in 44 carries 5 years. And I mean, one would ordinarily say it makes absolutely no sense. The application of this act is now to intelligence defence police. It makes no sense to make an offence which relates to the disclosure of all classified information and give it a custodial penalty of 5 years, but in another provision, which is the one we're looking at now, give essentially that same offence a sanction of 10 years. They are out of line with each other and disproportionate. So now the question arises, if we are now making this particular offence applicable only to heads and officials, of what? What did he say? Of the agency? Heads and officials of the agency? NIA?
Whoever has an obligation under this act and willfully or grossly negligently fails to do it. So if the act is there,
State security is all of the agency, it's still the agency there, isn't it? No? Is it defense, police, and intelligence?
But we're referring to the organs of state sector in clause 3. Does it matter now who it is?
If that's clear that it applies to all of them, then the disparity or the disproportionality consideration, I would think then falls away, because you're saying for one of them it's worse. They go to jail for 10 years if they do this thing. For other people under 44 who disclose, they go to jail for 5 years. And there might be some... I'm posing it as a question, because we're making these changes to confirm late last night, now this afternoon. So does that address the disproportionality? I raise it as a question.
We understand that it may seem disproportional. The problem is this is an official state. Let me finish. It has to undertake certain functions, and in the event that he fails, this is a matter that was raised by the opposition itself. What do we do
Director General fails to really, fails or refuses to classify, declassify everything. How do we address that, which could happen and does happen? And this seeks to do that. I don't think we must water it down and leave it as it is.
I agree with the answer, but we're doing this so fast that I think this is the question has to be asked.
This particular offence, honourable members, was hanging up on the top of the page for a very long time. It had been put there based on the concern that you had raised. The question was, what happened if these officials do not do what they were supposed to do? And hence it was put up there the day before yesterday by agreement. We inserted it now. The thinking at the time was that you want to make sure that they do what they are supposed to do. If they are supposed to review, then they must review. And for that reason, I don't think the offence was meant to be such a great one. It was meant to act as a deterrent to get them to actually do what they are supposed to do. Here, I don't think they are compromising security in any way. They're not selling. They're not. Distributing things they should not do. They merely not doing the work internally which they're supposed to do. And I think hence it was the two-year period. So I said deterrent to get them to do what they were supposed to do. Honourable members, can we have brothers now on this one? So the proposal from the Honourable Abrasini, a head or an official of an organ of state, is then accepted, and can we then... Yes?
Why, when these officials give that information to a foreign state, do they go to jail for 15 years, whereas under espionage you go for 25? Look at the last line. And it's espionage by a person. Whistle on that, page 84.
I'm dealing with a different thing there. I'm on page 83.
Yes.
And the proposal on page 83 that was made by the Honourable Abrasini in the offence, which is described as failure by head of organ of state to comply.
We're not in the same. We're not in the same place.
That's where we are.
We're not in the same place.
That's where we were. So can we just change the heading also then on page 83? On all members. Failure by a head or an official of organ of state. Can that heading be changed? Ms. Boyd.
Suggest that we have to retain the words head of an organ of state because it's defined as such, so immediately after or official of such, because the definition is head of organ of state.
So you still make any change, but you don't have a problem with the clause anymore.
Also in the clause to just read a head of an organ of state or such official or official of such organ of state with that effect.
Okay. On this point, let's just finalize this point because but the state law advisor has offered new words here now. The new words is agreed to. It's very similar. Agreed to. Okay. Next, we're on page 84.
I'm still now at the bottom of 86 because we had understood you to be dealing with the state security matter clause, where I think it would be a vast improvement likewise to make that one applicable only to the actual officials of the agency. And the question still remains. I mean, if you want to make this clause a crime for everybody, the enormous disclosure, then the question remains why, when you disclose an agency classified information, do you go to jail for 10 years? Whereas, when you disclose other classified information, therefore defense and police. You go to jail for half that time. And why, if you commit espionage, you get locked up for 25 years? But here, if you disclose agency classified information, you get locked up only for 15. It's actually, I thought we were dealing with a clause, and I actually think that the solution just inserted in clause 48 would also work very well for 49. If these are persons sworn to be interesting, they are themselves intelligence operatives, then you can start looking at this particular offence. But without that, this offence remains for us an enormous problem, and the amendment last night to its definition at least now relates only to classified information, but it doesn't cure the difficulty with the clause. Would you not consider making this also applicable only to officials? The officials want to take this as the agent.
And what about the time period? 10 years?
How can they answer that? So it suddenly becomes a criterion 10 years. Classified information in relation to the NIA, the Secret Service, COMSEC, and the Academy. But if you disclose classified information relating to the Defence Force, or the police, or whichever other organ opts in, you get 5 years. How inconsistent is this proportional? And in addition, why do you get only 15 years for disclosing to a foreign state? Yeah, but you get 25 years and an espionage thing.
You know, members, the first thing is, are you talking about state information or classified information?
Classified information.
Yes.
Nice, the definition now makes it applicable only to classified agencies. Whereas before it dealt with absolutely anything to do with the agents, we're now talking about classified agents. Not so. So now how does that sit alongside the field for the deal with other classified information?
On the numbers at the bottom of page 83, the word state is underlined because it was inserted. The question is, does the offence apply classified information, because then state must be substituted with classified? I don't see how the offence can apply just to state information.
Yeah.
The disposal of classified information. Then if we go to 84, in A then discloses such, that state should also be classified. Another view on that. In B, it also should be. And the same in C, state should be placed as classified. And then at the bottom, D. Question then remains is the time period. Time served on the members. Not exceeding 10 years, or if it is proved that the publication and disclosure of the classified took place for the purpose of being disclosed to a foreign state, then obviously the vulnerable members, the same should be in line with your espionage. So is this not 20 years?
Members,
in order to bring it in line, the question
not. No. Mario's proposal was to insert the word head or an official in clause 48. I would greatly welcome it if you would insert a head or an official also in clause 49. Yes. Where does it say official? Any person? Which is defined as absolutely anything to do with an agency, but now classified. No, really, honestly, as Chairman and Honourable Landis, this is exactly where I first misunderstood you. I think 49 should apply only to heads and officials of the agency. But we haven't done that yet. We inserted that in 48. Where did you see in 49 that it applies only to officials? Let's go back to the definition that changed last night and see whether it says includes any matter which has been classified in terms of the act and which is dealt with by the agency or which relates to the functions of the agency or the relationship. No, it doesn't say it applies to the official. It's any person.
But now,
it is out of line with the disclosure effect. Now, once we get to the disparity between 10 years and what you now want to make 15 years, I ask you, but why are you taking 5 years up to 15? You say it's because it's worse when a member of the agency does it. But at no point did we insert a member of the agency or an official in this clause. We did it in the previous clause.
Chairman.
Yes.
Thank you. Now, I think that, yeah, there is a bit of a talking past one and all that. The purpose of this section now is don't mess with the agency. So there are two types of classified information. The classified information which pertain to the agency and the classified information which do not pertain to the agency. You unlawfully disclose the classified information which pertain to the agency, you get a much higher penalty. You disclose any type of classified information which is not a state security matter and you get a lesser sentence. It is not that it's a matter of being an official of the agency. It's the information which is classified information pertaining to the agency. So that's the way it is, and it seems to be making sense. Whether the disparity is too much, that's a different matter. But I mean, I think that these are matters of detail that once we have a clean bill, we cannot look at them together and. On the basis of a holistic and comprehensive reflection.
Honourable members, I can see only that it remains the same when it goes up. I can't see it coming down. Honourable members,
with no option to find.
religions won't be charged under the Espionage Act.
Why not?
Well, the scenario. Well,
the other issue I raised was the consistency relating to fines. And if you take page 83, for example, there we're at improper classification. We've got 15 years or the alternative of a fine, 10 years or the alternative of a fine. And surely we should be consistent, but I'd ask the ANC to look at that issue as well. I understood that it would be across the board, it'd be fined. Would you look at that as well? No, sorry, not espionage, obviously. But to bear in mind here, you've got a very serious sentence of 15 years. We've got the option of a fine. Surely we should be consistent as far as possible. Page 83. Paragraph 2A.
Either an imprisonment and or fine. That was the position agreed to. I don't think we said in every single offense there'll be imprisonment and a point, or a fine. Because this for me is a very serious offense. An official classifying something top secret in order to hide corruption. And we say he can be fined.
Let me give you another example. Page 81, we've got the offense under 44. Failure to report possession. We've got a 5-year or a fine and imprisonment, or both a fine and imprisonment. Then under 45, we've got imprisonment of 5 years. You follow, you understand the inconsistency, do we? That's what I'm saying. Because it's both. No, I'm saying there's an example. I've been open with you because I appreciate what you say. That's our present formula. That's our present formulation, and that's why I'm saying we need to relook at all these, and that is an issue.
Germans, we certainly can adjourn to 4.